Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff answering questions emailed to me about Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism. I take questions of general interest, not technical philosophy and not practical politics. I do this every week or two and post it on my website. It's also available on iTunes. If you want to ask me a philosophical question, feel free. Just send it to leonard@peikoff.com. And my last name is Peikoff, P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F as in off. I start today with a question I think I've answered before, but I'll do it briefly. What do you think of the issue of gays in the military? Well, I don't see anything against it. This is my understanding. First of all, as I've said many times, I don't believe that you can equate gay actions with immoral actions. There are moral gays, immoral, and moral straights, and immoral. So it has nothing to do with moral standing. The main issue is what the people in the army calls cohesion. In other words, in war, a certain camaraderie and mutual bonding is necessary if a group is to survive and help one another and take the risks that success requires. And I'll accept that. And the experts go on, or some at least in the military go on and say, they just won't be able to achieve cohesion if there are gays in the unit. Well, if this were actually true, then I would say that in itself is an argument for excluding gays from the military, even if the soldiers are prejudiced and irrational in holding that view, because we have to go with what we have in regard to defending the country against foreign aggression. We have to do that as best as we can. So the question is, though, is it really true that if you introduce gays in the military, that would wreck the bonding and cohesion of the troops? And I don't think that the, I'm not a military expert at all, but I don't see that the brass viewpoint is true. And here's a little story I came across in the Wall Street Journal on February the 9th of this year. This is about Israel, and they did introduce openly gay soldiers. Quote, "It's just a non-issue," says Israeli Army spokesman Captain Barak Raz about the service of openly gay soldiers. Quote, "It's about as important as whether someone chooses to listen to hip-hop or classical music," unquote. Israel lifted restrictions on gay soldiers in 1993 on orders from then Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. "If there were ill effects," Captain Raz says, "nobody noticed. Openly gay soldiers have served with distinction in elite combat units and as senior officers." I mean, you can't resolve this by empirical, irrationalistic evidence, so I don't know, is this, are there special Israeli circumstances? But as it's stated, that makes complete sense to me. And it could very well be, the military was completely opposed to blacks having the same status, and then they had no problem with it all. I think that's much more likely. But one reason, perhaps, for I get this question is because there's some objectivists who obviously have a real hatred for gays. They're very eager to get the reaffirmation of their viewpoint. And you're not going to get it from me. Now, if you're talking about politics, in other words, activist gays who want special favors from the government or to compel people to deal with them, rent to them, etc., I'm opposed to that. Objectivism is opposed to that, but that would be equally applied to feminists. So it's not an argument as far as certainly sex in the military. Now, here's a question that was asked by a gay, but I'm going to translate it for more general interest. It's the same question. I have a strong feeling she loves me, a woman. And I really love her. I get some positive signs from her that she feels that way toward me. But sometimes she, I'm summarizing this long question, but here's a quote. Sometimes she, quotes, treats me in a degrading fashion, unquote. My problem is what to do, to pursue, leave, or what? Shouldn't my feeling be decisive in regard to an issue of love? What else counts? So if I feel like taking the negative, taking her, her disinterest or her mixed signs and simply waiting to see and trying, isn't that the right thing to do? Because I feel. And I would say no. In love, certainly your feeling is a necessary condition, but it's not by itself sufficient. You have to know why you feel what you do. What values she has, and does she really have them? How do you know? I just give you a silly example. When I was very young, I went on to pick up a date, and I didn't know her. And, you know, in those days, you wore a suit and tie to a date. And she opened the door, and she's first words out of her mouth were, "Dad is the worst tie I've ever seen." And my reaction was, "Oh, great, I found an independent woman." Later, I found out that there is such a thing as hostility, as distinct from independence, but you have to know what qualities a person really has and not just go by superficial data. You also have to know what is your feeling of, quote, love in your own life. Have you had a history of being in love? Time and again, and a string of affairs and desires, and you always get tired, or they get tired of you, and you move on. If so, you know, it could very well be that you are not in love, that you don't feel love. You feel a sexual desire for some reason, and that what you call really, really being in love is really, really wanting to go to bed, or really, really wanting to conquer her, or whatever it happens to be. Particularly if she says, you know, you can take a lot of things, but if she says, if there was one occasion in which she really, quote, treated you in a degrading fashion, that is, that is, to me, decisive, if that's what it really was. Now, I suppose you're balancing, and you just don't know what way to go. Why don't you ask her and let her give an answer? It sounds to me like from the way you've described it, that she does not, she may want some kind of relationship with you, but she does not want that kind. And you have to find out, does she mean it? But then I would say, if she means it, leave her alone. Now, a number of objectivists have the idea that since you should, quote, be true to your values and fight no matter what the price is. Therefore, if you fall in love with someone and they don't reciprocate it, you should continue to pursue and try and court and or at least stand on the sidelines and wait and let her see you're always there. I think that's completely wrong. Pursuing and achieving your values does not mean pursuing and achieving a person. If a person has autonomy, and no one wants someone whom they don't love to follow them around in thought or in action and tell them or imply to them, I want you, I'm waiting, I'm miserable without you. Not to boast, I've had a few girls in my time do that. It is horrible. Nothing makes you hate somebody more than that. 10 years ago, I had this girlfriend. In spite of appropriate condom use, she got pregnant. I asked her to get an abortion. She refused. So she had the baby, and I've been paying child support ever since. But I will not engage in the fatherhood role, and never have. I never wanted it. I acted to prevent conception. And the only problem was a faulty piece of latex. I rarely feel any guilt about this decision, but sometimes I do feel guilty for not being guilty. Should I feel guilty? My first question would be, did you have an understanding in advance as to what would happen if the prevention of the condom did not work? And did you know her well enough to trust her in that regard? I don't know from your letter how old each of you are. I assume you're at least in your late 20s. But at that time, how old were you? How long did you know her before you had a sexual relationship with her? If you went into this with an understanding, and you knew her well enough for long enough, you checked, you made the thing clear, and now she betrayed you, then it's not your fault. And guilt would not be appropriate. But if you just got an impression, she's a nice girl, I really like her, we've got a lot in common, we never talked about having a child because we know the condom will work, then guilt is appropriate because you undertook a possibility without covering what would happen in the worst case, which you know does happen in, 1% of times. Now, if that is the scenario, there's nothing much you can do about it now because you couldn't resume fatherhood this late in the game. So let's assume that you did everything, then I would say you don't have everything in advance, then I would say guilt is not necessary. But I have another question. It's hard for me to think that you fathered a child and didn't feel some, curiosity, some desire, selfishly, to see this child. This child is you. It's you recreated. I don't think I could do it and just say, well, too bad. You cheated, the condom broke. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I would be curious to know if you understand in your own mind why that fact that it's you isn't an issue to you. If you do understand, then I would say stop feeling guilty. You did the best in advance. You understand your reaction. Good luck. That's it for today. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peikoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.